Good.
Everybody was having such a good time. I was sorry that I had to bring everybody up here. Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the City Council meeting for October 20th, 2015. The time right now is about 7:03 p.m. And Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutaback, Rasmussen, Davis, and Gearing.
Thank you. And let me just remind myself, Councilmember Camp had indicated that he may be late or absent this evening. So
Councilmember Gamble, let me know he's on his way, but he'll be late.
Councilmember Gamble. Okay. So assuming that Councilmember Camp doesn't make it, as he had indicated he may be absent this evening, we'll go ahead and consider him an excused unless there's objections. Okay. And if he comes in, I'll go ahead and announce that when he comes in. Councilmember Gamble's not present, so Councilmember Gearing, will you go ahead and lead us in the pledge? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on this evening's agenda is public hearing. This is public hearing number one, AB 15-170. This is 2016 revenue sources / consideration of possible property tax increases. Ms. Nelson.
Hello. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You have this PowerPoint in your packet. It's blanking today. What do you think? The cover's off at this time.
Oh, okay, there it is. You got it.
Okay, good. It's right. This is an annual part of the budget process that we do every year. I talked to you a little bit about revenues, and it's the public hearings for people to express their feelings on revenue sources for the city, what they feel is appropriate, and just so council can get some input from the public, if there is any. An opinion, and also a chance for council to deliberate too on what they may feel is appropriate for the city. And also, okay, so tonight we're just going to talk about the public hearings. And I know what I wanted to say is that the preliminary budget that you have been presented with does not include any tax increases. It's a status quo budget. Okay, so general fund revenue is, you've seen this pie chart before, here it is again. It's basically, we're a sales tax city, mostly the sales tax is our biggest piece of the pie, and the other two are property tax and utility tax, so those three basically fund our operations. There's been the smaller things of license, permits, and fees, charges for services, and then of some grants. Used to be grants were a bigger piece of the pie, they've now shrunk down to 50%, because as you know, money's hard to come by these days, and then fines and penalties, that's what the court brings in, and then miscellaneous and intercompany transfers, just little things. The big three, though, are sales tax, property tax, and utility tax. That's where what we mainly look at. That's what I spend a lot of time monitoring. And this just gives you a little bit of history so you can see the volatility of the revenue streams. Sales tax is considered a volatile revenue stream because it goes up and down with the economy. Over just the last 3-4 years, it's increased by about $1 million. Conversely, property tax there has only gone up about $35,000. So you can see property tax is way more steady. Sales tax is not. Utility tax is actually going down $35,000. It's kind of a coincidence that property tax has gone up the exact same amount as utility tax has gone down. And that's due to changes in the technology and just it's based on gross revenues of operating utilities. So that's just to give you a picture of where we expect things to end up at the end of this year versus how it's been going along. Looking ahead, like I said, the preliminary budget that you have before you is a status quo budget, no increases. However, in January, I am going to be coming back and we're going to have some discussions because for future, some things are going to be changing. Like in 2017, $100,000 transfer that we've been doing from the REIT fund to help that legislation that allows us to do that is sunsetting. In the past, REIT was only used for capital projects, but during the hard times, the state changed it and had some temporary legislation saying, well, yes, you can use REIT fund for maintenance of capital facilities like parks. And so we've been using it for park operations, and that is going to go away at the end of 2016. So that's something to consider. Also, in the 2016 budget, we're using $150,000 of photo enforcement restricted funds for police operations, and that's one-time money. And we're also using $110,000 of the restricted funds for the sales tax levy. So those are things that we don't like using restricted funds for operations, but that's how we got the budget to balance and to work. In the forecast that you will have, it does make up those gaps with increases in sales tax, but what if those increases don't materialize? And that's what we want to discuss in January is what's our contingency plan? How are we going to go forward in case, you know, things don't, the sales tax doesn't come in, because you can't trust sales tax 100%.
Councilmember Cutterback?
Yeah. Dan, just a question about the bullet three.
Yeah.
Because that isn't necessarily going away.
Yeah. What it is every year, we keep the police sales tax levy money. We separate that out in our
right.
accounting system to so we can demonstrate that we're using it strictly in police things.
Correct.
So we have accumulated, since it's been in effect, we didn't spend as much as we brought in. So it's built up a pot, and we're using that pot for...
to say no.
Oh, okay. we're using that pot to fund operations besides to help fund operations and police operations, but specific projects, I think, for police. And so,
because it accumulates every year, correct? No?
Yes. We've been to, you want to talk?
Yeah.
Sure. Diane's exactly right. We did not spend all the money from this year, the 0.1%.
Right.
So the extra monies that we have with the projected monies coming in for 2016.
Is that
110?
110. Okay.
We did have that money that we had not spent for 2015. We would not be able to cover the 110.
Okay. Yeah. But the 110 is the pot in next year's projected sales.
Yes.
It's from previous years.
Right.
But including next year's, money's out of next year's too.
Okay, so it's a combination. And then it'll accumulate next year that you can use for public funds. You just don't know how much for public safety. Because you get that levy every, that sales tax accumulates every year.
Correct.
You're using next year's in the pot for next year. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah, and the pot.
Okay, I gotcha.
Okay.
No, I got it.
Okay. I know how you feel about property tax increase, but I would be remiss if I did not, again, bring it up. just so you are aware of the decision you're making, you know, an informed decision. If we invoke the 1% property tax, and it would mean $20,000 more in 2016. And the tax on a home that has assessed value of $225,000, they would pay $2 more for the year. And that's the difference that it would make if you invoked the 1% property tax increase. And the reason I said an assessed value of $225,000 is because per the county's assessor rolls, their information, they can be that that's the average assessed value of a home in Monroe. So that's why I took that one. Not much, you know, in 1 year. The big deal about the 1% is if you do it every year, then it makes a difference to the city. You can see there, if the city did the 1% every year, we would have an extra $100,000 in 5 years. Whereas the individual homeowner, you can see at the bottom there, it's that $225,000 home again. In 2016, they would pay $259 more, and then up to $13 more a year. So there it is. That's the difference between doing the 1% and not doing the 1%, the hit to the individual versus the revenue to the city for operations. And we'll probably be talking about this some more in January. Another alternative the city has is bank capacity. You have $1.142 million in bank capacity. If you, I just pulled $100,000 out for what ifs, and I have no basis for that $100,000. And but if you used, say, $100,000 just one time and didn't use it, and didn't invoke it in future years, what it does is the city gets the extra $100,000 each year because it ups your levy. Amount that you're allowed to levy each year, because your levy is based on the previous year's levy. So if you used $1 million, it would up it, but then you would pass your statutory maximum, so you couldn't do it. But there, it gives you $100,000 more a year if you use the bank capacity one time. The effect on the individual home is they would pay $12.86 more a year, but it would remain the same every year. They would pay the same $12.86. And so that's another angle to look at of resources available to the city for operations. Tax per capita, there is in your attachments and in your packet, there's a spreadsheet, and it looks like this. It's a bunch of cities, and it's got their population and what county they're in. And I tried to get as many as I thought would be of interest to you. You know, cities surrounding us, cities that are successful in their revenue structure. And basically what you can see is there's a yellow line going across, and that's the property tax. And this is how much the city receives based on population. And you can see that for property tax, Monroe is the second lowest in property tax. The only one that's lower than us is Lake Stevens. And Lake Stevens is low in everything. I'm really curious what they do, what services they're providing, or how they do it. That's of great interest to me. But Everett has a real high B&O tax. So that's each city has its own story to tell. Everett has a high B&O tax. So you can see under the Everett column, you know, they're getting $292 per capita just in B&O tax. So that's pretty nice. That supplements their general operating fund. Linwood, of course, has the highest sales tax. You know, no surprise there. And I think the big takeaway from this is if you go all the way to the right over there where Redmond is, it's a very expensive place to be. So they have really high taxes all around, both sales, property, and business. So it's just, this is just a comparison so you can see where we sit with other cities. And there are variables for each city, you know, their location and all. And I threw in Bonnie Lake just because I wanted to throw in at least one Pierce County city, and their population is close to our population, so that's why I threw them in. But just so you can see, this is just information for you to have. And that is just about all I have to say. This is a time, part of the budget process, and a time for council to get input from the public if anyone deems they would like to regarding budget and its revenues.
Thank you. Do we have anybody who's signed up for the to provide testimony? Okay, is there anybody that would like to come forward to provide testimony on what Ms. Nelson just presented? Okay, seeing none, council? Councilmember Gamble. I'm sorry, Councilmember Hanford.
Move to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing.
Second.
Just a second. We're not required to give a to have a motion to open the public hearing, correct? Okay.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Just make sure.
Okay. I have a motion to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Is there a motion to close the public hearing or a discussion?
So move to close the public hearing.
Okay. I have a motion to close the public hearing from Councilmember Gehring.
Second.
And a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion on the motion to close the public hearing? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. The next item that we have on the agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for the audience to speak to the City Council on any topic, on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 5 minutes per speaker, and we do have a couple people who have signed up to speak. The first person is Mark Abney. Mr. Abney.
Do you keep this here?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Mark Abney. I'm the executive director of the East County Senior Center. I just wanted to thank you. I got a phone call from Gene the other day, and I just wanted to thank you for your continued support for the Senior Center. It's really noticed by the members of the center, and it's very much appreciated. The funding you provide for our Mobility Lifeline Transportation Program is just a huge help, and the program has been exploding. Last year when I spoke to you, fiscal year 2014, we provided 2,017 rides. This year, 2015, which just ended in June, we provided almost 3,000 rides. So that's about a 45% increase. Since the program started in late 2008, we've provided almost 14,000 rides to seniors and disabled individuals in the Monroe area to take them to shopping and all the things we do for them. So it's a great relationship we have with you, and it's very much appreciated. So I just wanted to say thanks for that. On a personal note, this is probably the last time I'm going to be addressing the council. I'm retiring in the end of April.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I just want to thank you all for the support the city's shown to the senior population in the 10 years that I've been there and noticed it. Whether it's clearing ice from the parking lot or fixing a concrete, I called Jacob one day. Called him up one day because there was a woman tripped coming from the subsidized housing to the next door to the senior center. There was a ridge in the concrete. He came right over, ground it down, repatched it. Instantaneous support from you guys and the funding, of course. And you've always been there for us, and we just really appreciate it. So thank you.
The next person that I have who signed up to speak is Greg Dick. Mr. Dick, please come forward. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Greg Dick. I live at 17054 183rd Place Northeast in Woodinville, Washington. Thanks, Council. We all know each other, Mr. Mayor. The city has been a while. I'll be brief tonight. It'll be quick, but I have good news on the propulsion cable park. I'm coming to speak on behalf of H3O Propulsion, and we've raised the funds for the phase approach that you're all talking about tonight and going to vote on and discuss. So I just want to come forward and assure you of that, and we're looking forward to moving forward with the project. Definitely timeline is tight. We've talked about this before. Spring's right around the corner, saying this going into the fall is pretty tough to say, but our construction timeline, ordering the cables and getting everything going from overseas in Germany, where the SESITEC, the vendor's at. With this investor, they're concerned with opening this next spring, so I want to make sure that everyone's aware that we need to keep tight on the timelines, what we talk about tonight. They are coming on board with the terms that we've proposed to you that you're going to review tonight. They're very excited about the project. The investor has worked on other projects throughout the Southwest and is excited to come up here to I've said this in many meetings, kind of the motherland of water sports. Toad Water Sports is a lot of it's created right here in the Northwest, and that was another big reason they came on board. They see the participants with the ski hills, Stevens Pass, Crystal Mountain, Mount Baker, all the local stuff. So he's pretty excited about it. The construction timeline, once we get through this process, we will then set forth the construction timeline. The contractors we're working with obviously are going through a little bit of a boom right now, so business is good, but they have kept us in the queue, and we want to make sure we get through everything so we can get those dates to them. But overall, I just want to come in and thank you. You know, it's been a lengthy process, you know, over the last 3.5-4 years, and we're looking forward to moving forward. It's a great project. It's very exciting, and can't wait to see it at late time. So thanks for your time.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to come forward to speak this evening on public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Councilmembers? Councilmember Hanford?
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. We now have need for an executive session. We're going to have two executive sessions for a total of 15 minutes to begin with. They are both under the same citation, RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection little I, subsection double little I, potential litigation. Please let the record show that Councilmember Gamble has entered the room, and we are now in executive session for approximately 15 minutes. There will be action to follow after executive session. Thank you. Okay, and we're back in session. Please let the record show that Councilmember Camp arrived in chambers at 7:28 during exec session. The next item that we have on our agenda is unfinished business. This is unfinished business item number one, AB 15-172, discussion, second addendum to concessionaire and property use agreement with H3O for cable wakeboard park facilities at Lake Tai Park. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. We've been working on this for a while. The H3O company had suggested some revisions to the current contract to break the project into two phases and modify the payment arrangement. We took their suggestions to us. We sent them a second addendum to the concessionaire and property use agreement. They reviewed that and had some comments back on that, and now we're presenting you with staff comments to their comments on our draft addendum. First is their the payment of rent, the deferred rent, the rent that hasn't been paid since about January of this year, that has been accruing monthly for their concession at the property. They are asking to have the basically substitute that cash payment with passes for citizens to use their park when the park opens, rather than. And that, rather than what we proposed, which was the payment of the past due rent by the end of October, if they did not begin construction of the project, and if they did begin the construction of the project in October, they would have to pay that off on December 1st of 2016. And so the first question is the council open to receive day passes as an alternative to the cash for the past due rent?
Councilmember Gamble.
Specifically speaking, I mean, for me personally, I mean, and I know kind of as a body, we've been pretty consistent on the past due rent. Numerous times it's come up this last year, you know, and even in the January time frame that, you know, that's part of the agreement. That's the agreement that we have in hand. Rent needs to be paid up and paid to the point until if the agreement is adjusted, and that would be a going forward component of it. I know that the notifications are being sent still by the city and being sent on a regular basis, so I don't think there can be any mistake from the standpoint of whether or not they should be paying rent. I mean, that's notifications are going out, and that's the agreement we have in place. So that, I know I've been consistent on that, and I think pretty much everybody has. So that's my opinion on that one.
Does anybody else have anything? Councilmember Hanford?
Yes, I concur 100%. If you go to page 8 of 15 on the PDF, where it talks about the rent, it spells it out very clearly that the rent commencement date would be December 31st, 2016. if they are to break ground by October 31st. And so that's, in my eyes, that's more than gracious. That's more than enough time for them to come up with that money. So, and I concur, we've been super clear from the beginning, we're not waiving the rent. When we talked to them, when they came to us back towards the beginning of the year, we talked about how we understood that we need to make it, they'd like to renegotiate the contract, and we understood that it was hard for them to stay up to date with rent while that was taking place, but we've already created a clear path for all this, so thank you.
Thank you. If that is the consensus of the council, then we will not make any changes in the second addendum to the concessionaire and property use agreement that we've sent in draft relative to past due rent. Thank you. Mr. Feilberg, next.
The next point is the postponement or deferral of rent between a new agreement and the rent commencement date, which would be the opening of business. They have proposed that they have day passes. They are proposing to give 1,000 full day passes in vouchers for Monroe citizens to be distributed to the public in any way that the city would like. Staff doesn't have any problem with doing that as the in-kind service to be provided for that period in between the new contract or the amended contract and opening date, but we suggest that it be changed to that the passes be given to a nonprofit, Chamber of Commerce, Boys and Girls Club, whatever, to keep the city out of having to manage all those passes. And this, is the council supportive of that or have any comments on that?
Councilmember Gehring.
I would support your change as well. I think that's very fair. I think that the partnership that we're working with them, again, it's from the new point moving forward to opening, not the past stuff. And I would absolutely be in support of letting the chamber or someone else handle that and not us. I think that's perfect. That would be also in partnering with the chamber, that gives them some extra visibility as well, as and maybe people will find out more about the chamber as well, since they're going there for their they'd be going there for their tickets. So I think that's a great idea. I'd be open to it. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. One other thing is that it's important to notice that the value of the passes that they would be giving the city is more than the amount of the rent that is being waived for.
That's right, why I'm saying that sounds great. Yeah. And so let's jump on that.
Yep.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble.
First reading, I know that, we had talked about having like a Monroe Day or day set aside. And so at first when I was reading, I was like, well, I don't know about that. And then as I started to read, I like the idea from the standpoint is I do think it would actually give more citizens the opportunity. And we were already kind of thinking that way. This way you're actually stretching it across 3 months. I started thinking, hey, if the one day is when I'm not here, I miss out on Monroe Day. Actually, you could go through, however we chose to facilitate that. But I do like the idea, and actually better than just having a particular day on the calendar to actually have it spread out in the past proposal. So I do like that.
Councilmember Cutaback.
My biggest concern with allowing that is if they don't open. And then we will have given them this time. If they don't build, we would have given them this time with nothing for the city. So I'm not necessarily in favor of passes in exchange for rent. We would need to have something in there that says if you don't open, instead of passes, we're going to do this, whether it's back payment or something in there, because, again, there's always a chance that we have four and a half years of history of not movement. So if this new contract or amended or new contract, whichever way we're going, amending it, there needs to be something in there. So that
would you yield for a comment? Yeah. Sure. The passes need to have actual value, is what you're saying. And if there's not, if they don't open, then we need some sort of compensation for the rent.
For the time that we allow them to have the option of building that, the towers.
If they do open, it's not an issue because they're good. If they don't, there's an issue.
There's that time.
I agree. Thank you.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
I guess I'm personally a little skeptical of the idea. I mean, it's creative. I agree. But whether it's past due rent, future rent, I would prefer the city to receive the cash, honestly. And, you know, I look at these passes, and the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, something like the fairgrounds where you've got the gate admission and, you know, everyone knows that has a common sense of marketing knows that, you know, getting someone in the doors is the first step. Where they're going to spend the money is the concessions and the rentals and so forth like that. And this is just another phase, another similarity to it, in my opinion, that it's not going to impact them hardly at all. They open up the doors. They're not given with the passes any rentals or concession or anything like that. So I mean, I just don't see that $45,000 value in exchange for future rent being equivalent, in my opinion. And so I don't favor that for those reasons.
Yield for question.
Sure.
I'm just curious. So what is the do we have to define what the pass entails? Is that use of the facility or just walking onto the property?
It just says day passes.
I'm sorry?
It just says day passes. So
use of the facility.
So it's use
it didn't involve, if you don't have your own weight board.
Right, you'd have to rent it. I can understand that, but it would be use of the facility.
Yes. Get you in the door.
All right, so it's more than just the entry into the facility.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's actual use of the facility.
You've got your own board, then.
Right.
You're golden, but even the presentations over the last 4 years, I mean, they strongly indicated that not a lot of people have their own board, so that's why they're here. And, you know, I mean, kudos to them. I mean, it's a great idea for them. But the cash equivalent or rent equivalent, mm-hmm. to me, isn't there.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, and I think the statement that they had made is a lot of them don't have their own boats. A lot of them do have their own boards, don't have their own boats. But I just wanted to comment on Councilmember Cuddeback's comment. I could not agree more on that point. That would have to we'd have to put that in there because that would be in line with the first bullet.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I kind of just assumed that, so I'm glad I'm glad you pointed that out.
All right. So I've got a little bit of difference of opinion on this particular one. I'm understanding that. Let me go ahead and phrase something, and then maybe you can move it. I'm understanding that there is an interest in doing the day pass as proposed, with a requirement that in the event that the facility doesn't open, that there be a monetary payment to the city for the rent that would have otherwise been paid during that time.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second from Councilmember Gamble. Before I continue, was that your understanding?
Yes,
also?
Yes, but.
Yes, but.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the but?
The but. They have to pay money if
yes.
They don't.
Okay, yes, but.
We said that.
Good. Yeah. I didn't know if you had a but on top of the motion.
Answer the question. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 6-1. Thank you. Mr. Feilberg, continue.
Okay. Next one is the discussion of the phase one and phase two facilities. The only difference they had was that they do not want to include in the phase one improvements the covered viewing area. The staff doesn't feel that's a major feature with the project, and I think that would be fine to delay that to phase two.
Okay. Any discussion, Council? Does anybody disagree with that?
No.
Okay, so we'll Councilmember Rasmussen?
Yeah, just a question. I mean, the phase one's going to have a temporary building on it anyway, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, likelihood that's going to change, or so, I mean, it's kind of indifferent. So.
Okay. All right. So I see consensus to say that yes, council does support the discretionary language. Mr. Feilberg, continue.
The next one was that H3O proposed at their discretion to or to not connect the temporary building to the sewer. Staff feels that since there has to be restroom facilities for their employees within 300 feet and the existing concession stand restrooms is more than 300 feet from their operation, that they need to connect to sewer, and that's it's code requirement, so that's not really anything to discuss. So we feel that it's a necessary thing that has to be done.
Mm-hmm. Council members, any comments? Okay, so I'm understanding that there is consensus to require the sewer connection.
With phase one. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
We have proposed that rent commence at $1,500 and move up to the $2,000 at the beginning of the, would have been 2017.
The 1 year date.
Yeah, but they want to have, which would be like 6 months, they want to have a whole year after the commencement date before their rent increases from $1,500 a month to $2,000 a month.
Councilman?
Was it number four?
That's yeah, four, yes.
Number four. Rent commencement.
Oh, there it is. Sorry, I was trying to look at the paragraph and then the action item.
Councilmember Cutterback?
Brad, what's the rent currently? Because I know we've already done this. We've done a step up already.
Do you remember what the rent is at the moment?
I think it's 18.
I think it's 18? Okay.
Did it start at 1,000?
I think it started at 15, I do believe. And then went to 18.
I think so. I can go look it up if you want.
Not necessarily not in favor of that.
Sounds fishy. So,
not necessarily not in favor.
I don't have. I support. I will not say I support that, but I will say I'm not support of it.
Councilmember
Cutterback Lingo.
Cut it back, please. Councilmember Gamble.
I'm personally fine with what they are suggesting as 1,500 and then stepping up with having a longer duration before going to two.
Okay.
Monetary difference is not that huge.
Same with me. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any dissenting opinion on that point? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Maybe the rent.
Okay. Okay. So I'm hearing consensus then that yes, council does support the rent proposal. Okay, construction deadlines.
Okay, as we discussed earlier, we had the construction to commence October 1st and be open June 4th, I think it was. They would like to change it to January 31st, 2016 for their rent, for their construction commencement date, and then also not then have the business opening deadline of September 4th, 2016. They've also proposed that the phase two construction not commence until March 18th of 2018. However, that's after the expiration of the permit from Army Corps of Engineers, so it would be hard to start construction after that because they wouldn't have a valid permit to do the construction after that time. So there's several issues for council to give direction on for that. And also, Mr. Dick did mention that their person with the money wants them to be open sooner than September 4th, so
indeed,
that's just so hopefully they'll get done sooner.
Exactly.
So does the council support their proposed dates for the phase one construction start and opening date?
And just sharing my opinion really quickly, I think waiting till September 4th, and granted Mr. Dick had said something different this evening with his partner wanting to open in the spring, I would prefer to have this open earlier in the year than September 4th, simply because then you're going into the winter, you're going into fall. And so my preference would be to have it open earlier in the year rather than later. So whether that's June 4th or whatever the case is, I would prefer to have it open earlier. The January 31st, to me, what's important is that if the council wants to proceed with this, that the project get done and that work begin. That the project, you know, get done, that there be an opening day in the earlier part of 2016 rather than the later part of 2016. So whether they start January 31st or November 1st, for me, it's the opening date that I'm concerned about. So Councilmember
Gamble was first.
Gamble, go ahead.
Yeah, I would concur with your sentiments there, and then I don't support any build timeline that doesn't mirror or, you know, take into consideration the building permits. I just think that that makes absolutely no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. For number six?
Yeah, for phase one, phase two, just the build.
Phase two is the one that has an issue with that, not phase one.
I understand that, but I'm just saying that any part of the building process
that doesn't match up.
Yeah.
So just for ease of going through these from a staff, for us knocking these off the list, can we stick with item five first? Five. Does council support the proposed dates for phase one that H3O came forward with, and then take each of them if that's okay?
You going to go around the table?
I'm taking up the sub-bullets, but that's okay. It's all good.
Sorry.
Whoever you're going to call.
Okay.
Construction deadline, bullet.
Okay, Councilmember Gehring?
I am fine with the dates. Again, I just want it to be open. I'm okay with September 4th, specifically because they mentioned, one, they do have money, and they want to open sooner. This just gives a little bit of cushion, and I'm fine with the dates. I just want it to open. Thanks.
Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. I'd prefer an earlier date. Earlier in the spring, June 4th would be good. July 4th would be acceptable, but September 4th is, like I said, getting closer to the fall. I did have a question. Do we have an estimate how long it takes from construction, start of construction, to something opening?
They had indicated about 4 months previously.
Okay. So January 31st as their start date. And we're give us April.
Yeah. It's just, I guess, the one comment is that those dates are really just there for a deadline to establish a penalty, because if they're not finished by that, then they owe us the money immediately as opposed to waiting for a later time. So it's not saying that they can't open before then. So it's basically just giving themselves, in case they miss it by a little bit, they don't have to have a penalty.
Come back. Exactly.
Yeah, remember the June 4th had two things. The open date has two things. One is what you just mentioned. The other one, too, is that there's an automatic expiration of the contract in the event that we get to that date and they haven't opened yet. And one of the reasons why that was inserted in there is so that we don't find ourselves in the position where we are right now, which is we have to take the step here and now to decide whether or not to terminate, or you do, council does. And so you end up with multiple meetings going through and talking through things and whatnot. And that's why the automatic expiration was considered in there, giving them the option to come in and request an extension, of course. But that was the other component to a firm open date. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, I think they were just padding for construction reasons. But going back to what we originally talked about, the reason we said June was for what you just said. And if ground has been seriously broken and they are seriously trying to open, of course we're going to extend. So I like the original June date myself.
Okay. Councilmember Cutterback?
So I'm not in favor of their proposed dates. I agree with what Councilmember Hanford has said, that, you know, we can look back if they have started and they haven't met the deadline. We can look at that now. This was purposeful to keep them on track. They have come in numerous times and said they've had financing and they're ready to go. Show us. If you have financing and you're ready to go, they're putting up towers. They're not building a building. They're moving a trailer on there. It's not a full construction thing. You know, I know they have things they have to order and things of that nature, but again, if we see movement, I think we'd be more reasonable, but we have not seen movement. So I think the dates that we proposed were intended to show a timeline and show some movement. So I'm not in favor of their proposed dates.
Okay. Councilmember Gearing?
Thanks. Yeah, the October 31st date's not realistic anymore, so we have to change that one, or we can move to change that one. And I think with the June whatever opening, a January 31st construction still gives them four. It's essentially February 1st, so March 1st is a month, April, May, June 1st. I'd be a little more comfortable with July 1st. Because that gives a little bit of wiggle room if they're actually going to start breaking ground. Again, we're going to know at a certain point. September 4th is too far away. Clearly, there's consensus to move a little earlier. Why make them come back if they're already making progress the end of June? Then we avoid having to have another meeting, and then they just open. So. The end of June would be a little more comfortable for me, but hearing everybody else talk, obviously the preference is to have it earlier, so thanks.
Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, too. We talked about all this over a month ago now, and so our dates are sliding, and so I'd be fine with the end of June.
Okay.
That's not moving it that much.
Instead of, yeah.
Okay, so let's do this.
The 4th of July weekend.
So I'd like to get a vote on two things related to this. One is the open date, and then the other one would be the start construction date. Because I see there are two different things. The start construction date, for example, the open date, for example, sticking with the June 4th, or maybe it's the end of June. And then the start construction date, maybe January 31st, you know, whatever that date is. Councilmember Gearing?
I move to go back with them with a open date of July 1st, 2016.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 4-2. I'm sorry, 5-2. Yeah, let's do that. My math isn't working tonight. Councilmember Gearing.
I move to approve the January 31st, 2016 suggestion of construction deadline, or start of construction.
Sorry. I have a first from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 5-2. What we'll do then is as part of doing this, we'll go through and we'll backtrack the other dates that are in there. Obviously, July 1st means that we're not going to stick with the May. We'll just go ahead and subtract a similar number of days so that it mirrors that. All right.
Point of clarification.
Yeah.
For the upcoming votes, would you please state for the record who the opposing votes
are? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I usually do that.
For the recording, that would be helpful. Thank you.
For the recording, the minority on both of those votes were Councilmember Cutaback and Councilmember Rasmussen. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Item number 6, Mr. Feilberg.
Okay. They have proposed to begin construction of the building on March 18th of 2018. However, that's the permit expiration date if they get a extension for the permit, so we suggest changing that to completed by rather than commenced by.
Councilmember Gamble?
I would make a motion to change the language to completed by.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Number 7.
Okay, and the other one is the H3O has proposed that if they do not,
I have to read where it says,
if construction, now that we've changed it, construction is not completed by March 18th, 2018, the city will have at its option to give H3O 3 years' notice that it must vacate the property unless it complete the phase two construction in that time frame, you know, with no other penalties against them for not finishing that. So the question's being, does the council support having a 3-year termination clause, basically, in the agreement, or do they want to have an immediate termination, or do you want to, instead of, if they don't get the building built by the time the permits expire, is just do something else instead of having a building, you know, increase the rent, because one of the things that we're sort of bargained away in the earlier time, the building was replacing rent as the value we were getting, so to do, since we didn't get the building, do you want to then have increased rent? Or a lump sum payment.
You said, or a lump sum payment. Okay, anything further?
No.
Okay, Councilmember Cutterback?
I'm not in favor of a three-year notice to terminate a contract. That's completely unreasonable. Mm-hmm. Basically, what they want us to change it to allows them to be there and never build the building. We've had many discussions about, you know, that how important the building is, so I'm not in favor of that. And I'm not in favor of an increase in monthly rent because we haven't been, you know, clear that we're getting that. So it would, in my mind, have to be a lump sum payment, and it would have to be factor in kind of an inflation or some kind of increase for the cost of the building. So definitely not in favor of a three-year notice to terminate, and not in favor of increase in monthly rent, because they could somehow cancel, we'd never get that full increase.
Yep.
That doesn't make sense. Thank you.
Councilmember Guerin.
Thank you. I'd be okay with 6 months, because then if they're not going to build by March 18th, at least they can operate through the summer. We can still get some money out of it. And then that would be the end of the season, where they would have to cease operations. And at that point, we've gotten most of the, you know, anything we're going to be getting, they're going to be getting, that's a much better time to end, should they not build the building. But it'd be 6 months and then we're done, is what I would want it to say. Again, why cancel it right before the beginning of a season? I'm just thinking logistically, there's probably been tickets sold, there's probably been all kinds of things done. Give them 6 months and then shut it down. Versus at 3 years, I agree. I mean, where does that even come from? But 6 months through the season makes sense. And you know, community's going to be involved, people are going to want to be doing it, they're not going to be understanding what's been going on here with the negotiations, and just from a logistical standpoint, let it go through the summer and then be done. That's my opinion.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Definitely not in favor of the 3 years as well. To me, that's just way out of line completely. Best response I can have for that one. Honestly, that's just ridiculous. They've come to us 4 years now. I mean, we're on 4 years with this thing, and they've said we're going to do it, and you know, we've been gracious with them and accommodating as much as we can. I mean, if you're going to build it, build it.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble?
I'm going to make a motion having H3O stay on the premises for 6 months and an addendum to the three-year recommendation, and then immediate termination after that if the building is not constructed by the March 18th, 2018 deadline we just talked about.
Second. Okay, I have a first and I have a second for 6 months with immediate termination if they fail to complete phase two. Is that correct? Okay. Councilmember Cutterback.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of the 6 months, so I won't be voting for that. It seems letting them finish the season for non-performance, for not building the second phase, so I don't know what's in our current contract. Is it a month termination? If they don't perform, what do we have in our current contract? Do you know that, Brad?
I think the current contract is written, the current contract that we had, the proposal that we sent to them had a bond.
I know, we'll get to that, but That's the next issue.
Currently, your existing contract.
Yeah, with her current contract, say for not, if they don't perform, is it a 30-day termination notice?
I'll be happy to look into that and get back to you, but I think it's different for different categories of breach.
Okay. So for something, for me, not building the building, which we're giving them time from now until March 18th, we're giving them quite a bit of time. I'm not in favor of giving them 6 more months after they say they're not performing, not building the building, 6 more months of running their business. So for me, as you know, whether it's 30 days that the contract currently, whatever a contract currently says, and I know it's, as the attorney mentioned, it might be different notice for different breaches, but I would give 30 days notice on that. So.
Okay.
So that's why I won't be voting for the motion.
Okay, thank you. Just to clarify, the addendum that we sent back doesn't have a termination associated with phase two. Is that correct?
No, because we had proposed giving us a bond that we could go build the building somewhere else in the park after the permit had expired.
Okay, so by way of how the motion is currently made that's on the table, if there is a vote in favor of this, then would that make the last question moot? Because we wouldn't be requesting a bond if we have made a decision in number 7 that there's going to be an automatic termination for failure to act on phase two.
Correct. So do we want to postpone this one until we go talk about the bonds?
No, it's just okay. I just...
Why would that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I
why would
just
cancel it out? Yeah.
What's that?
I think it's two separate issues that we're talking about.
Okay,
so, I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's separate.
No, this isn't the bond to remove the towers. No, it's the bond to build the building.
Which we proposed to them.
Right.
Yeah. But that's different. That's different than if they're just not going to... I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm the floor.
She has the floor.
Oh,
actually, I took the floor. I'm yielding. How's that go?
Okay. Go ahead. Do that. No, I think it's two separate issues. They're saying in the next point that they don't want to have a bond, that they're not securing a bond.
To do phase two.
To do phase two.
Which means if they don't, they're out. The way that we pass this.
7A says that if they fail to construct phase two, and the motion on the table is that we will give them 6 months notice that they will, that the contract will terminate.
Yeah.
It presupposes we're not building phase two.
You can still terminate and still have the bond to build the building. Yes?
Yes, exactly. It's a separate item. Right.
Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So it
might be a different vendor.
What I propose is that we cancel and still they have a bond so that we can go and build the building. So that would be...
Even if they're not there. That's what
it's essentially a belt and suspenders approach,
okay,
counsel.
I'm just trying to...
You're just trying to point out.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Attorney Lau, I'm sorry I missed that.
It's basically just a belt and suspenders approach. It reserves in the city the latitude to pursue and ensure that the building does get constructed,
yes,
irrespective of termination for cause.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, I just to respond, appreciate your, but I'm, you know, that is more for us. That's why I'm making the motion, because when I look at the, you know, we spent a lot of time on this, and I'm interested in seeing if this public-private partnership can work, you know, in general. And if I look, we would potentially not even have 2 full operating years under our belt with the agreement. You know, this, you know, being 2016 next year, and maybe being only a partial. I really want to see 2 full operating years. And, you know, out of the effort. So that's why I'm six months to me is more for us, for the city, for the citizens, not for the other. So
okay. Councilmember Cutterback.
Well, I just wanted to respond, and I understand, you know, having the business, but when they non-perform, I'm not willing to give them 6 more months of being in business when they're not upholding the contract.
Excuse me.
So it doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
So the non-performance piece is where it is around timing around permits. That's why there's a piece of that could lapse just because of construction issues.
And they know.
So that's totally understand. Yeah. Totally understand. But when that's why I'm not viewing it in the same light as you from a non-performance perspective.
All right. There's a motion on the table for 6 months. Any other deliberation? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-2 with Cutaback and Rasmussen voting against. Last item, number 8.
Oh, it is number 8. Sorry.
Similar to what you just talked about.
Yes. This is a different one.
They, in their response, basically categorically said they're not going to provide any more bonds. So we had proposed that in addition to the $100,000 bond to remove the towers if they left, there was also a $375,000 bond to build the building. That would include language that it could be built somewhere else in the park if we couldn't get the permits to build it that close to the lake. And also I think it was a $100,000 bond that if they got halfway through the construction and their permit lapsed and they couldn't get an extension, that would pay to remove the half-built buildings if they couldn't get it done before the permits expired. And they said no to both of those bonds. We had suggested maybe countering back with the increase in rent, but that's kind of been shot down, I think. Comments from council?
Councilmember Hanford.
I'm sorry, Councilmember Cutaback was first.
Oh. Councilmember Cutaback.
Just that we need to require that they provide a bond. And then I think we had in the agreement that they would have a bond for removal of the towers once they built construction, or once they started, not right now, but once they put the towers in or started construction.
Once they start construction,
okay. So they agreed with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
They just said no addition, not the other two bonds.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think we've talked about the building being important and being on a timeline to build it and putting some surety there that we could get it built even if we had to terminate or they terminated after 3 years of use. So I'm not willing to let go on this point. I think we need to have a bond for construction of the building. And I'm not in favor of just increasing rent if they don't, for the reason that they could, which the agreement could terminate before we get that full value of the building. So it would have to be a lump sum.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
I concur with Councilmember Cutaback. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
So I want to ask about how much of an increase in rent it would be, because it would essentially just be that 6 month period where we're still getting rent based on the motion we just made.
Right.
At that point, the rent would be like $2,000, and so if we, let's say the building's half built, and what we were asking, what was it, 370? What was the number that we wanted?
375 bond for the building, $100,000 removal bond for the building.
$100,000 removal bond. So for 6 months, how much would we have to, I'm trying to get the number, how much would we have to jack it up to this cover at least, like, let's say the building's half built, so half of that 100.
This wasn't written with the concept of only giving them 6 months. This was written with having the 3 years. Or longer, if you just decided
to have half built and just. That's kind of the point I'm getting to. Yeah. In 6 months, you'd be jacking up the rent so high, they might as well just do the bond. In that 6 months to, I see. Okay, because the suggestion is valid over the longer term, right?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, if the council decided, you know, since their suggestion was a minimum of 3 years to terminate, you could say, oh, well, never mind, we don't want a building anymore, just, you know, pay us $4,000 a month in rent. You know, that's $50,000 a year over, you know, 5 years, or $250,000. But that's the way this was written, and since you decided that's not the direction you want to go in, this sort of kind of goes away.
I'm just trying to think of how we can build the building ourselves with money from them.
Bond.
Okay, without necessarily that, since they're pushing back so hard on it. There's got to be a reason they're pushing back so hard on it. So, all right, thanks.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I mean, at a minimum, the removal bond. I mean, that's why we have it in place for the towers. The whole, they understand that concept, and the reason why that they have agreed to that from the beginning, that there's a potential it might not work, and so that we have that in place so that they can take it out. So it doesn't make sense to me that thought logic wouldn't go through from the standpoint of a building perspective, that if this doesn't work and you don't get it done by the permit time that's in place, last thing I want to do is saddle the taxpayers or, you know, citizens of Monroe with a half-built building, and we either got to tear it down or complete it, and we don't have the funds to do that. So, at a minimum, a removal a removal bond.
Make a motion for a removal bond. Go from there.
Well, I don't know if I've got consensus on that. I'm just saying, on me personally, that's.
And they're not arguing removing the removal bond that was part of the original contract.
But the removal bond, part of the original contract, was only for the towers. It was, if I recall correctly. It's not for the building.
Right. Yeah. Right. The amendment is three bonds. So the removal bond that was the original,
mm-hmm.
a bond to build the building, and then a removal bond for the building in phase two in the event that they
didn't get it
don't, yeah, they don't get it completed.
Yeah, so it's the third one I'm saying is a minimum.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I'm saying one and three. Sorry. You mean one and three? The mayor just flipped me off.
Get that on the record. I was counting up to Chris three, and I took away one and two. And
Sorry. It's on the record.
It's on the record.
Once you said it, it's on the record.
Yeah, nobody could. That camera in the back.
Oh, that was good. All right.
Okay.
So you understand what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I got it. Mr. Feilberg.
There is also the consideration of that the building is consideration of value that we're receiving from them for in exchange for lower rent. So that if the building or the that if the building doesn't get built, then that consideration goes away. So you have that same issue of, you know, value. So.
Okay. Anything further, Councilmember Gamble? You still have the floor.
Okay.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
I like the idea of the additional bonds. When we discussed this last time, I felt it provided a lot more security to the city and our residents, and I don't believe that council should back down on that and should require it.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Garrett.
Thanks. I move to continue to include, is already in there, the building removal bond in the amount of $100,000. Is that stated correctly?
So there is the debate right now is that they're fine with the first removal bond for the towers. Your motion would be to keep the $100,000 removal bond for the building in phase two.
Yes, that is my motion.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second for that motion? Okay, the motion dies for lack of a second. Council? Councilmember Cutterback?
I'll move that we require that they have a bond in place for the building and also a bond in place for removal of the building if it's partially built.
Okay.
And the amount is up to?
Per the existing?
City staff, yeah.
Okay, so your motion would be to keep the two bonds as written in the addendum. Would that be correct?
That's right.
Okay. Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback. Is there a second?
I'll second it, but...
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen has a second. Councilmember Camp, and then Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Camp.
I just want to make sure I understand this. So we're requiring a bond to complete the building and a bond to demolish a half-built building?
Right.
Why do we need the half-built building?
Because if they start construction of the building...
And we have a bond that says we'll finish it.
And only get halfway through it
right.
By March 18th, 2018, yeah. We can no longer continue building that building.
Because we would need to get the permit.
So we either have to use the money to do whatever's necessary to get the permitting and then continue on, or tear the building down and build another one somewhere that's more than 200 feet away from the lake.
A future council would have the opportunity to decide what to do, whether yeah. to exercise the removal bond.
Okay.
I'm going to remake my motion.
All right. Thank you.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Yeah, so just for clarity, the motion that's on the table right now, that doesn't affect the removal of the bond or the removal.
Correct.
Of the bond.
No,
and so there's,
that's still there.
The yeah. three. Okay. That's
but if that's what we propose to them.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor to keep things as written in the addendum that was proposed back to H3O relative to those two bonds. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Motion fails 2-5 with... With Cutterback and Rasmussen voting in favor of the motion. All right. Councilmember Gehring.
I'm going to once again move to... keep in the agreement the building removal bond for the $100,000.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion to keep the second of those two bonds, which is the removal bond for the building for Phase 2? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-2 with Cutaback and Rasmussen voting in the minority. All right. Do we have anything further on this? Did you want to touch on the last two?
Just that they named naming rights. They were okay with coming back to you for actually the official naming of the building or the park. And then the regulatory authority is our standard rights that they basically haven't said anything about yet because they're waiting for the answers on the other parts.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
So now that we've come to conclusion here with what we were going to present back to them, do we want to put some kind of like finality to this? Like, this is the final, this is your final answer type?
This is it.
Final answer?
I don't know that a motion is necessary. Council staff will, staff will go back and rewrite the addendum per the direction that is here. And certainly making a statement on the record, this is it.
It's yield for comment on that?
Certainly a way to do that. Councilmember Gehring?
Yeah,
I'm in agreement with that. I'd like to communicate that. We want to move forward. Let's get it going. And here's what we have for you. Let's do this. Say yes, and we can move forward.
Yeah. And for the reason that, like we've all been sitting up here talking about how we've been talking about this for 4 years, and I think we've spent enough time with our attorney, and they've spent enough time with their attorney, and we've gotten close enough, I think, that if we can't make this work, what we're presenting back to them, then I don't think it's us. I don't think it's worth us continuing to spend a multitude of time on this. So if it's a motion,
I'm in favor of communicating that direction. Just giving them the direction.
So just a second. We're playing with the idea of a motion for a deadline for a response or something. So there's a bookend. Maybe that's a way to do this.
And it's certainly within the council's authority to do that. I guess my recommendation, just having watched the history here unfold over the last few years, is to direct staff to convey the points made by the council tonight and then request a response in writing from H3O by a specified deadline.
Rather, do that.
That's just a comment. Yeah, and that's instead of rewriting the addendum, because that's the attorney time to say, here's the points that the council wants, are you okay with them? They say yes to all of them, we'll write the addendum, but they say, no way, we're going to do an extra bond or whatever, then I guess it would be over.
We need a response.
Yeah, by X date, yeah.
Do you have a motion that you can, or the language that they can so move?
Motion to
certainly.
Before you do that, so Councilmember Hanford has the floor, and Councilmember Rasmussen, I do see that your light is on, so we'll come to that since you still got the floor. Do you want to go ahead and draft up a motion?
Happy to do that, Mr. Mayor.
Well, Councilmember Rasmussen. Okay, so if it's okay with you, Councilmember Hanford, Councilmember Rasmussen, while he's writing up the motion.
Sure.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I just got to have a couple of comments on this whole thing, I guess to close up my opinions on it. I didn't vote for taking the staff proposals to H3O just simply because the past due rent hasn't been paid yet, and I've been consistent with that. But I do have to acknowledge that I think the proposed amendments that we sent to H3O were very generous. And the more I went back and looked at those, I thought, aside from maybe a few minor date changes, obviously because of where we're at, October 31st, being kind of unrealistic, I felt that it was a proposal that they should have jumped on. And to see some of the responses come back, I mean, just fuels the concern that I've had all along on this. So, I'll wait to see what how they respond with our proposal to their proposal and go from there. But, you know, I continue to have concern with this, and I'll continue to share it as we continue to discuss this, hopefully not for another 4 years.
Thank you. Mr. Lowe?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Council, a form of motion, if I understand the council's preference correctly, would be I move that the city council authorize and direct staff to convey to H3O the council's counterproposal as expressed in the council's consensus and votes at tonight's meeting, and to request a formal written response from H3O accepting the city's terms no later than specified deadline.
So somebody can so move with a date. Councilmember Hanford?
I will so move December 1st, 2015.
An important end there. Do we need to second that?
Yes, the motion, so I'll second it.
I wanted to ask Brad, is that enough time for you to get your notes back together and get to them? And then give them their time for their turn to look at these things.
Yeah, because we'll have the proposal off to them by the end of the week.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it gives them over a month to.
Good. Okay. So we have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Gehring. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Cutterback?
Yes, I approve of setting a timeline and a date that they need to respond from. I'm not going to vote for the motion based on the issue of security and not having that bond on the building. I think when we had talked about that before, we had been pretty adamant that getting that building built and having a bond to build that building was essential. So I will not be voting for the motion.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen?
I agree. I'm in the same boat, but additionally, I think the month was being too generous. And they had no problem responding to our proposal within a week. So I think it's too long, but I won't be voting for it anyway.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes 5-2 with Councilmembers Cutterback and Rasmussen voting in the against. All right, thank you. The next item on the agenda is AB 15-183. This is under unfinished business number 2, presentation of 2016 utility and CIP funds budget. Ms. Nelson.
It's been a long night. So I'll go through this, and if I start going too fast, just speak up and I'll slow down.
Not possible.
This is the Utilities Capital Improvement Projects and Special Revenue Funds. These funds are unlike the general fund. You have a ton of discretion with how the money is spent, how the money is generated. You have discretion and, of course, policy to decide on these, but these are more cut and dry. There isn't as much, they're pretty well laid out. There aren't problems with these funds, is what I'm trying to say. We'll start with the utility funds. Oh, you guys want to look at it too? It's been a long day.
And we do have the PowerPoints in front of us, so
yeah, you've got the PowerPoint in your
so if it takes too long to warm up, we can. We're looking.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Utility funds, we'll start with them. They're funded by rates, not taxes. And they must be self-supported by their rates. And so that's why there's less debate about what goes on with them. We do have bond covenants that require a ratio of revenues to operating expenditures of 1.25. Combined, water, sewer, storm combined do meet this ratio. individually water and storm do not in the 2016 budget, but the legal test is, because we've pledged our utilities is combined on our bonds, they look at it combined, so we're okay, but I just wanted to make you aware of that, that just the sewer is pretty much right now for the covenant aspect covering the water and storm. The water fund, this is the water operating fund for operations, revenue $3.8 million, operating expenses $3.2 million. There will be the new rate structure adopted for the rate study. And the difference between the operating expenses and the total expenses is pretty much debt service payment, which of $660,000. There's also the Water CIP Capital Improvement Project Fund. We're expecting revenues of $280,000, and there are the listed of the projects that are planned for the 2016 budget, mostly main replacements. I don't know what AC is, asbestos concrete. And it has a healthy fund balance at the end. So CIP funds, if we have money, we do projects. It's time staff allow and money allows. If we don't have money, we don't do the projects. So that's kind of how the CIP funds work. Sewer fund, revenues are expected to be $7.3 million. Operating expenses, $3.3 million. And this is also having a new rate structure for the rate study. The expenses, the total expenses, it includes a $2 million transfer from the sewer operating fund to the sewer CIP fund. So that's part of that big difference. Also, debt service payment of close to $2 million. So that accounts for the difference you see between operating expenses and total expenses. The sewer CIP fund, we're expecting capital fees of $500,000. The transfer in from the sewer fund of the $2 million, and then there's the capital construction projects that are planned for 2016, and still have a healthy ending fund balance. Stormwater fund operating, revenues $1.5 million, expenses $1.3 million, and there will be a 4% increase according to the rate study that we did, have the consultants come in and do, so that's planned for 2016, and then also a debt service of $100,000. Storm CIP fund, the comp plan calls for us to issue bonds in 2016 of $3.2 million. These are revenue bonds, not general obligation bonds. The comp plan shows that the amount of this additional debt is supportable, provided the growth projections pan out, and if council adopts the projected rate increases that are in the comp plan, or in the rate study. So I just wanted to throw that caveat out there. But with your utilities, you pretty much have to maintain your capital projects, or else you end up in a big hole where you have a ton, you know, millions and millions of dollars worth of projects that need to be done and no money to do them. I know we have like $24 million in outstanding debt right now on our utilities, and it sounds like a lot, but the way public utilities work is, in a perfect world, we would slowly save up the money, and then once we had, you know, millions of dollars, we'd start spending them on capital projects. But when you have a public utility, your customers, your ratepayers get very upset if you're sitting on millions of dollars. If you're sitting on $10-15 million dollars in saying, well, we're saving up for a big capital project, they say, you're charging me way too much with my monthly rates, and you're just sitting on stockpiling money. And so the way utilities work is they go out for debt, they issue bonds and go out for debt for their capital projects, and then the ratepayers just pay the debt off. And so you end up in the long run, if you look at it, you know, in the big picture, it's more expensive because you're paying interest, but it's just kind of the way the world works with utilities. And no one has found another way around it so far, unless you're a private utility. Yeah. But we're not. Solid Waste Fund, 3.3 million revenues, projected expenditures 3.4 million. The expenses are a little bit more projected than the revenues, but that's okay because even after that, we still have a healthy ending fund balance of $1 million, and we don't really need that because our solid waste fund, we're basically just customer service, and so we don't really need the a big fat fund balance in this fund, so it's okay to just slowly spend down the fund balance rather than raise rates. Just as Republic Services raise rates, we don't need to this week, we can just slowly spend down that $1 million. We also have a revenue bond reserve fund that we're required to keep because of our bonds, and the amount required is it's in the bond ordinance. There's a three-part test that you determine the amount and all. It's currently funded at $1.9 million, and we are transferring $60,000 back in 2016 to the utility funds, prorated on their share of debt, because the requirement has been reduced due to paying off debt. Our streets, we have three funds that cover our streets. A special revenue fund for street maintenance, a CIP fund for street capital projects, and then a special revenue fund for the sales tax receipts for the Transportation Benefit District. And that's just accounting requirements for tracking revenues. The street maintenance fund gets its money from the solid waste franchise fees, mainly gas tax, and then some charges for services. Revenues do not adequately support the level of maintenance that we would like on our streets. And so that's something else when we talked in January about our financial structure. It's very common for municipalities to have a policy of a certain portion, that like some cities do about 30%, some cities do more or less, of their property tax they divert to street maintenance because they feel like that's an appropriate place for a property tax to go to. And so we currently do not have any. In the past, the city was able to use royalties from cab and gravel and other means to support street maintenance. Those things have slowly gone away, and so now we need to look at how are we going to fund street maintenance. And so we may have a discussion on do we want to have a policy of some of our property tax instead of going all from the general fund, have some of it go to street funds. That's just a heads up for future. The street CIP fund will have grant revenues of $4.3 million, GMA fees of $238,000, some real estate excise tax, and the Transportation Benefit District money that's collected in the special revenue fund will be transferring $750,000 into the project fund. The projects that are funded are going to be on the next slide on a map that you're going to see, and the ending fund balance is expected to be about $347,000, which is pretty good for the CIP fund. Here's the projects. It's mostly overlay, as you can see, chip seal, sidewalk construction, sewer storm. You've got this in your packet. You can look at it at your leisure. You guys want to say anything about the projects?
Okay. Does anybody have any questions about these projects?
Yes.
Council? You can flip back to the
map real quick.
Okay. I don't see any. Thank you.
Okay. Next are our other capital improvement projects that are governmental, not utility. We have a general CIP, parks, North Kelsey, and then the North Kelsey Debt Fund. The general CIP fund is used for anything that's not parks or not streets. Right now we have the city campus master plan is designated for this fund. In 2016, we're planning on spending $100,000 for the city campus shop design. That is we have that municipal campus plan that was adopted years ago by council, and we've been slowly doing each step of it, and this is the next step, is to do the city campus shop design. And so that's coming out of this. After spending the $100,000, we'll still have $338,000 left in this fund. Parks and Recreation CIP fund, expecting impact fees of $175,000, transferring in some real estate excise tax. Those are the projects listed. It might remind me today there's one that's not there. It's $15,000 for ball field safety netting and fencing. It's also in the budget. It's just not on the slide. And there's an ending balance in this fund of $600,000 after these expenditures. Okay. North Kelsey Development Fund, land sales not recognized in the budget. They'll be recognized as they occur because it's just too difficult to know when each land sale is going to occur. But there is capital projects appropriated in this fund for 2016 of $720,000 to fill in that drainage pond to sell that one piece of land that is a buildable property. And after that's spent, there will be an ending fund balance of $278,000 in this fund. We also have the debt fund for the North Kelsey debt, and we're going to be paying $100,000 in interest. We still owe $4.1 million in principal. We rolled over the debt so that the new principal payments are $1.3 million due in 2018 and $2.8 million due in 2020. We can pay any of this off earlier than those dates, the way the bonds are structured, if property sales happen before that. We have some special revenue funds, and special revenue funds are called out separate from the general fund due to either policy or legal requirements. The donation fund is our only one that's called out due to policy. The others all have legal reasons why they're called out as a separate fund instead of being a part of the general fund. For next year, we're expecting the donation fund to spend about $6,600. If we don't get $6,600, we just don't spend it. And so that fund, is, as the donations occur, we spend the money on what the donations were intended for. Then there's the lodging tax fund. The committee will designate the usage of it, but we're anticipating $80,000. That's what's in the preliminary budget right now to be spent from tourism. For tourism. And the narcotic drug buy fund, that's from our seizures, money that's collected from drug seizures, and then we hold it and then spend it on drug activities, anti-drug activities. And I appropriated $50,000. If they get the money, they spend it. If they don't get the money, they don't spend it, depending on their activity. Real Estate Excise Tax Fund, REIT Fund, we're estimating $500,000 in revenues, and we're transferring $200 to the street fund and $100 to the general fund for parks capital maintenance, and then $65 to the parks CIP fund. And we're starting an in-house policy this year of spending REIT revenues in the subsequent years from when they're collected, because we don't want to budget expenditures of funds in the same year in case those funds don't materialize, because we get this money when the property is bought and sold. And so we're estimating $500,000, but if we don't get $500,000, we wouldn't want to be budgeting it this year. So that's why whatever we get this year, we'll budget to be spent next year. And that way, we'll just always know exactly how much we have to spend and appropriate. So, budget process, we've got in November 2 public hearings on the budget where the public can say whatever they want about the preliminary budget and give you input. And then we're going to have the two readings of the ordinance. Hopefully, it'll all be adopted by December 8th. So I'm asking you, is there any information that you would like me to bring back? Is there anything you want to know about? And if you don't think of anything tonight, if you know later on it hits you, and send me an email, talk to the mayor, talk to Jean. We'll get you whatever information you want. That you have any questions on the budget. And if you want to have any schedule any discussion during a council meeting, please let me know, let Elizabeth know, and we'll get it on the agenda so you guys can talk about it. But as far as I'm concerned, this is the last of my presentations on the budget, unless you ask for anything else. And so I'm more than happy to do whatever it helps, you know, you guys to understand stuff better, or if there's anything that's not clear. I kind of raced through this tonight. So
Ms. Nelson, can you turn off the LCD projector? Councilmember Hanford has a question. Go ahead. I'm doing that so you can sit without your halo getting in your eyes.
Thank you. I just want to thank you again. I'm very pleased with everything the way it looks. Feel comfortable with the way it's written. So thank you and the staff for all your hard work.
A lot of work with the staff. Yeah. Thank you, Bruce.
All right. Anything further? Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is new business, item number 3, AB 15186, ordinance number 014-2015. That would not be the right one. Let's go back up to unfinished business, item number 3, AB 15184, discussion 2015 comprehensive plan update. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, actually, had I thought about this ahead of time, I would have actually invited a planning commission member or planning commissioners to come here tonight to pass on this information. The planning commission met last night. They adopted facts and findings, and they recommended a comprehensive plan on to you at this point in time. So planning commission work is done. It now lands before the city council. There were a few changes that they made to the plan last night. I passed on to the consultant. The consultant's making the changes. If you go to the city website right now, there's on the city of Monroe comprehensive plan. I think there's documents under something identified as October 9, 2015 version. That's basically the comprehensive plan. There's some few edits that were made. Again, those changes will be made. And then once those changes are made, we'll repost everything under that same webpage and just list it as Planning Commission Recommended Comprehensive Plan. So at this point in time, I need to work with staff to lay out a path for you to consider the Planning Commission recommendation. I'm thinking at this point in time, maybe at least a briefing at your next meeting, possibly bringing in a planning commissioner at a meeting after that. I'm sensitive to the fact that in November you have at least one council meeting, maybe two, but I'm also sensitive to the fact that we'd like to wrap this up as soon as possible. So I think next week I'll be able to give you a little bit of a schedule or agenda based on the workload. I know you have budget in November, and we also have East Monroe in November as well, so trying to balance against some of these competing issues. But the goal is to complete this by December 1 and bring back a schedule next week, hopefully along that same timeline. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Councilor, are there any questions? Mr. Osaki, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, now we are under new business, number 1, AB 15175, resolution number 017-2015, declaring the city's intent to absorb the Monroe Transportation Benefit District, a.k.a. the TBD, and setting a public hearing date. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. The 2015 legislature included a bill that would allow the city to absorb the Transportation Benefit District if the boundaries of the Transportation Benefit District were the same as the city. That is available to us now. The first step in that process is to pass a resolution of intent and set a public hearing date to consider that and allow people to have comment on that. The pros are that there's a little less staff time is involved. You don't have to do reports for the TBD. There's less meetings for the council members because you don't have to meet separately as the Transportation Benefit District to conduct Transportation Benefit District business. And there'd be a little bit of money extra left over for additional street improvements because there wouldn't have to be a separate audit for the Transportation Benefit District. We are, as far as I know, no one has taken advantage of this program at the moment, which would make the city of Monroe the forefront and groundbreaker, leader of the vanguard in this respect. And we don't know how that will all flush out in the end. So if the council was interested in doing this, the first step would be to pass the resolution of intent.
Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. I'm not interested in approving this. I don't think it's worth being the first city to try this, and it's not that big of an issue to have two separate districts. I understand and want to be sensitive to staff as far as the accounting would be easier, but at the same time, it's just not as important, I don't think, to try this. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I'd be interested in reviewing this in about 6 months, 6 to 8 months. That's what I'd be interested in.
I'm in favor of that too.
I mean, sometime in 2016, I think all the stuff that you've mentioned, I think is great. You know, the benefits are potentially there, but yeah, I have no interest at this particular point in time to be out of the gate guinea pig on this as we digest what it truly means across the board. So I would love to take a look at it in 2016.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I agree. Brent, how much is the audit? You know how much that costs to do a separate audit of this? Can't be that.
We budgeted $25,000 because we don't know. It's never been audited before. When the auditors come in this November, they will be doing the first audit on the TV.
Okay. I'd be curious to see how much that is. How many times did we meet in the previous since it started?
Just from the setup.
Yeah.
But now that we have money to actually spend, there needs to be, you know, some more meetings, probably, you know, twice a year or something like that.
Twice a year meetings isn't that big of a burden. And in the past, I know we've done it right before the council meeting at 6. So I'm in favor of waiting also. But I'm curious how much the audit costs, because I think that could be a factor down the road whether we want to separate. So
good question.
So what we'll do, unless there's opposition, is we'll look at bringing this back in about 6 months or so. One of the values to considering it around the second half of the year is that it can be folded into the budget process for the upcoming year. So about 6 months from now sounds good. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item. And the next item would be new business item number 2. And this is AB 15185, authorized mayor to sign Lake Ty Park Veterans Memorial Donation and License Agreement. And would this be Mr. Farrell?
Yes, thank you, Mayor.
Yep.
So the American Legion desires to donate and install a Veterans Memorial Monument and solar-lighted flagpole at Lake Ty Park for the purpose of honoring the service, sacrifice, and legacy of the United States veterans and their families. The site may serve as a place for future memorial and Veterans Day ceremonies. The American Legion currently holds ceremonies for disposal of unserviceable flags at the park where this memorial is proposed to be located. The American Legion made presentations to the Murrow Park Board this past July and also to the City Council in August, where the City Council gave verbal approval of their proposal. The American Legion proposes to fundraise and install the monument and flagpole at its sole expense.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I'll make a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the Veterans Memorial Donation and License Agreement and expressly authorize further revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Camp. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Hanford.
I was going to make the motion.
It was rogue.
Okay. All right, Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. All in favor of this. And we had a lot of students who were involved with presentation in the past. I think it'd be great. Those were all eighth graders last year. I believe they're all freshmen in high school now. Was there an actual time when they think it would actually be open? Did I miss when this would be complete? Because my point being in that is I'd love to be able to have those students that were involved and did all that research be involved in the, you know, the opening ceremony kind of thing. I think it was Mrs. Boyle from Park Place Middle School that kind of ran that project along with Tammy Kenny from the Historical Society.
Yes, and the American Legion, the Historical Society, and representative from the school district, we've all been in communication and we'll work together towards this project. So this would be able to commence the fundraising and getting it installed in the park. So there isn't necessarily a deadline on it. However, the goal is they would love to have it completed by Memorial Day.
So by next month, sweet.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Great. It's just, if there's any way to encourage, you know, the students that did all that work to be involved in the ceremony, I'd love to have that involved. So I know that's not the action we're taking here, but a lot of those kids did a lot of work, and it involves our school district, and it's just a good partnership and whatnot. So,
thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item that we have on the agenda this evening is new business item number 3, AB 15-186, ordinance number 014-2015, setting property tax levy first reading. Ms. Nelson.
Oh, I forgot that was on the agenda. The ordinance before you does not have any increase except for whatever comes on for new construction.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 014-2015, fixing the amount of taxes to be levied by the city for calendar year 2016.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item that we have on our agenda this evening is final action number 1. This is AB 15-187, resolution number 021-2015, declaring emergency regarding biosolids contract. Who has this from your staff?
Oh, Mr. Fowler.
Thank you.
We had a contract with Cascade Materials and Aggregate LLC for the last couple of years, and they were supposed to give us 90 days notice before they terminated their contract. However, they no longer have a place to dispose of the biosolids, and since it's about 90 days to get a new contractor to do that, going through the process that's required by our procurement policy, we need to have the council declare an emergency so we can actually go out and pick somebody so we don't have to stop piling up. So this is an interim measure so that we can actually go out and get somebody right away while we're still going through the process of doing the competitive bidding process as required, which we're going to have the request for proposals out by the end of the month. We do, however, on the advice of the attorney, made a couple of changes to the resolution, which the city clerk gave me, and I cannot find.
It was nice of her.
There it is. Basically, from the difference between the original that was in your packet and the substitute resolution is it added two recitals talking about how that this is an interim biosolids management agreement, and while we're here conducting the competitive selection process, and that the section 3 is changed to read, in order to address and resolve the emergency situation, City of Monroe staff is hereby authorized to obtain and award all necessary contracts on behalf of the City of Monroe to provide for proper interim handling of biosolids from the City of Monroe wastewater treatment plant during the pendency of the current competitive procurement process, but in no event for a period longer than 120 days.
So moved. And if somebody wanted to move that, they would simply say, so move to the following. I move to approve resolution number 021-2015 sub, declaring the existence of an emergency relating to the disposal of biosolids and waiving the formal request for proposal requirements, the City of Monroe procurement policy.
So move to the
second.
I would like to make a motion to approve resolution number 021-2015, declaring the existence of an emergency relating to the disposal of biosolids and waiving the formal request for proposal requirements, the City of Monroe procurement policy, with the changes that were read into the record by Mr. Feilberg and by the mayor.
Okay.
Well, we do have to declare the...
Do we have on the floor? Wait a minute. Second.
It's all of it in one. Why do we have to do multiples? I don't know.
So does it matter that I have the sub in the title?
Okay. Yes, right. By adopting the substitute version, you adopt all of the changes all in one. So adopting the substitute is kind of the way to go. Yeah.
Which motion?
That would be mine.
We're approving this one?
Okay. I think both of them actually are the same, they were just worded differently.
Okay.
Very good.
There is a motion on the table from Councilmember Gamble. Is there a second?
Yeah, I second that.
Okay, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next item we have on the agenda is... Councilmember reports. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I apologize for not being here last week. Just got home from a trip to Haiti and had just come back, and I was exhausted, so I did miss last week, but an amazing time there. A very beautiful Caribbean place, but not beautiful as far as infrastructure goes. In fact, probably the poorest
poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Amazing time, and reentry is always difficult, but highly encourage going places that help you get great perspective on the wonderful blessings and the things that we have, because we are blessed with much, and there are many who have zero, including a lot of people there. Great time. Went with a great team of people, and an awesome organization that I went with, Hope in Haiti, that sponsors kids in a school, and it was an amazing time, and lots of great things going on there, trying to make life better for some people. So, highly encourage people to do something like that. It was great, and it's good to be back. And to say the natural air conditioning here is wonderful, 95 degrees and 100% humidity with no air conditioning or electricity is not comfortable for a week. So I enjoy the 50 and 60 degree weather more than most at this particular time.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Great week. This last week, Monroe Youth Football League has concluded their regular season, so entering into the bowl and playoff structure. So those games will be happening around the area in the city of Monroe and surrounding cities for the next couple weeks, hopefully for a lot of weeks for the Monroe schools. Our 89er boys are 7-1 and on into the playoffs. And quite a few of the squads are in the playoffs, so that's great. Obviously, a little bit of a downer on the weekend football for the Hawks, and I got to give props to the Chief before he beats me to the punch and say, yes, it is another year, but I am a Mariners fan, so I'm accustomed to saying there's always next year. Yes. So,
thank you.
Congratulations, Chief.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Nothing.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Mr. Chairman, from vacation early tonight, flew from the from the airport, had just enough time to quickly change and race over here, but had the opportunity to actually take a vacation with the family in Denver and ran another half and got to support my wife and another family in running their first house as well, and so to run the half at elevation was
pretty amazing. I was just going to say, at altitude, that's unbelievable. Yeah.
So congratulations to them, and I look forward to many more.
You too.
Thank you. Yeah. Councilmember Cutterbeck.
Nothing tonight.
Thank you. And Councilmember Hanford.
Nothing tonight.
Thank you. Out to staff, Mr. Worthen. I'm sorry. In the back, Jim.
No, that's Scott.
Scott, I'm so sorry. I was going to say Jim Scott. I was thinking school district. And I thought, no, that's not right. Scott, thank you. Peterson, there we go.
Yeah. We're doing good in our department. Projects going on. Attorneys going away. Contractors great to work with. He's doing a good job out there. And we're gearing down for our next round of projects and starting the design process on it.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Mr. Asaki.
I have nothing to add.
Okay. Mr. Worthen? Mr. Farrell?
Thank you. I have two things. One, you may have gotten the news that the Pro 8-4 Tour is coming back in 2016, so we're excited to have them back. And we've been in communication with them, and we're setting the date. It's going to be one of the weekends in July, so stay tuned. Second thing is, I mentioned last week, working with the DMA and downtown there with regards to enhancing some of those flower pots that we have, as far as getting more, they're close to getting some donations for some small trees that can go in there, and they would be in there for a couple of years and then be pulled out and with other small trees, and also lights for them, so it would, you know, green up the downtown a little bit more and also light it up a little bit more in the evening as well. So that's moving along, and that's all I have to say.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Farrell, you had one other thing, the water trail. Is there anything, remember the water trail with the county? Is there anything to report out on that?
Well, yeah, actually, thank you, Mayor. The Snohomish County Economic Development Department, they wrote a grant, and they received notification of the award of a grant for them to put together a water trail for basically from the mountains to the sea in Snohomish County, all the waterways, a plan, and so anyways, they're enlisting stakeholders from various areas within Monroe. They're going to have a meeting scheduled, I believe it's November 10th, and we'll have staff attending that meeting and we'll keep you appraised of how this goes. Now, this water trail, what it is, it'll be an economic development sort of tool as far as what sort of recreation opportunities exist and what the potential are for future recreation opportunities and businesses that are water related. So that's what's going on.
Thank you. Anything? Okay. Chief?
Nothing,
you see. Nelson?
Nothing.
Okay. From the Public Works side?
Kind of Public Works. The signs we brought to you last week, I think it was, for the gateway signs for downtown, we heard back from the chamber director from the state who said they won't allow them to go on SR 522 or on 522 at the end of SR 522. They had specific places they wanted them on Highway 2 because of the other signs they have, and they have to be so far away that they want to have it say right at signal instead of an arrow because it's going to be back in front of the 76 station. And they said, so what size are you going to do? So we've been working on meeting the requirements of the manual and uniform traffic control devices. We're hoping that they would tell us what size to make them, but they want us to tell them what size we want them. And so they'll check them. So we'll have that out to them tomorrow so that they hopefully they can approve that quickly and they can start constructing.
Okay.
Not Public Works.
Okay.
I attended the Snohomish County Managers and Administrators Group for Gene since he's on vacation today, and the most interesting thing they talked about today was the proposal from the health district to pass an ordinance modifying the health code of Snohomish County to make vaping similar to cigarette smoking that you can do within 25 feet of doors and that kind of stuff. And this is a summary sheet of their proposed regulations.
So you may have read a little bit about that in the paper since it was discussed at MAG today, but you might want to have a copy of the sheet here of what the health district is sharing, and if you have any questions, let us know. Anything further?
Nope.
Okay, we'll come back to the agenda. A couple things from me. Last night I met with Mike Buse from the Chamber and Diane Forth from the Downtown Monroe Association to talk about the naming of the alley that we talked about last week. They kicked around a variety of ideas and thoughts. We talked about some of those last week, and that the both Destination Alley, which has a name right now, and also this other alley, they aren't maintained right now, and there was a question about attracting people to a place that isn't well lit, that doesn't have things going on today, by putting up a sign, an official sign, versus having the businesses in the area just start doing things there and cleaning up the space and then having an official sign come later. So there was some discussion about that. There was also some discussion about how for the Marketplace Alley, the business there could certainly go ahead and start calling it Marketplace Alley without an official green sign, and like I said, start doing events there or even paint something on the side of their building that kind of reflects that. At the end of the conversation, though, I left it with Mike and Diane to go back and talk to their boards a little bit about how they might like to approach things with the alley, and they said they'd get back to me after they had had conversations with their boards. So that's where that is. Had a meeting with Representative Christensen. I reported out a little bit about that on Facebook and maybe in Monroe this week also, which is in your packets. We talked about SR 522 and a variety of other topics that that again I've included here in Monroe this week. And I think that's about all that I have to report out for right now. I will add to that, though, that I am interviewing some people for boards and commissions this coming afternoon, Thursday afternoon. I'm also meeting with Representative Scott on Thursday. So that will complete me having met with them and gone over sort of the draft legislative priorities that council has discussed, and they do understand that these items are draft. Final thing, in talking with Representative Christensen, I understand that there's sort of a timing factor in terms of getting material to the legislature. The timing is such that they would like to get some information on a couple of the things we talked about by the first week or two of November. So I'm trying to work with staff on some things with SR 522 and a couple of the other items in there so that that information can be brought forward to the appropriate committee chairs and whatnot before Thanksgiving. So that's kind of where those things are right now. And I think that's all that I have for this evening. We'll go ahead and go on to next week's agenda and then the extended agenda.
Next week's agenda, the first announcement of our second presentations. We've got a presentation for PACE engineers regarding the East Monroe project update, consent agenda minutes, and then two public works, either project acceptance or release of retainage, discussion of the 2015 comprehensive plan update. New business would be authorizing the mayor to sign the interlocal agreement with Region 4 Education Service Center for Purchasing Cooperative. Final action of setting property tax levy, the final reading. Council member reports and legislative affairs committee. Any legislative affairs committee meeting? Good. Yes? Okay. And then the staff report on land sales and the draft agenda again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Just a second. Councilmember Garen.
Thank you. I got a couple questions about extended agenda and just some East Monroe related things and specifically the timeline of the things that we see here. I understand there wasn't a report from Mr. Osaki this evening, even though the Planning Commission did meet. My understanding is that there's been 2 weeks now of public hearings. I look at the extended agenda. I see that we don't need to have a public hearing this time. I see that that's crossed out, which, I mean, the public has certainly been given a ample time to discuss these things. My question is, do we anticipate any changes to what we see here in the schedule? And is there, in the order of things that happen, is there any reason why we couldn't have a first reading next week, second reading at a different time? The EIS, which still hasn't been issued to quite yet, a separate process, maybe that's a question for Zach, repassing or at least the potential of comprehensive plan rezone changes within EIS. As long as both of those are done before going back to the Growth Management Board, doesn't matter what order those are done in, anything like that.
I'll be happy to look into that with staff. It's not a question I'm prepared to answer tonight.
Okay.
With respect to first reading of an ordinance, my recommendation to the council would be to make sure that you have your proposed findings prepared by staff and or the Planning Commission in front of you before you actually take that action. That will necessarily be a time-intensive, careful process, and my recommendation to the council is not to rush that result.
Okay. Great. And I'm just curious, because I see them on here, and just curious from you, Dave, is any changes here? We're still on track, and I see things that are crossed out, and so we can expect things to be seen here as they are.
I don't see any changes, and I would just say that the Planning Commission has not completed its work. It still needs to adopt facts and findings and make a formal recommendation, and I don't expect that until next Monday.
Expect that till next Monday. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. I was under the impression that was done last night. So, okay. So what took place last night then?
They've given direction to staff to prepare facts and findings.
Okay.
So staff this week is preparing facts and findings based on their direction for them to take action on next Monday night.
Based on them to take action. Will staff be producing their own recommendations as well?
Or, well, at this point in time, we're taking the direction from the Planning Commission.
You're taking the direction from the Planning Commission,
right,
versus you're taking. Wouldn't staff have their own opinion on a project, regardless of what the Planning Commission says, either way?
Not at this point in time, because basically the city code requires the Planning Commission to make a recommendation.
I understood that.
Forward to the City Council,
yeah.
And that's basically following the city code. The Planning Commission needs to, by prior resolution, council action, basically take and develop facts and findings to support their recommendation. So that will be developed for them to take action on this Monday night, and that will accompany the recommendation at the point in time when the council receives their recommendation. It's scheduled for November 10th and the 17th.
Okay. And given that there were just 2-3 hour public hearings, we should. So what I'm looking at here for the 10th is what we should expect for the 10th.
This should come before the city council on the 10th.
There's no need for a public hearing is what I'm asking.
Oh, it's not scheduled for public hearing.
Is there plans to schedule a public hearing?
Excuse me?
Are there plans to schedule a public hearing?
No.
On the 10th. Okay. Very good.
And the,
curious about that, because I saw them scratched off here. So, Mr. Lill?
If I could briefly interject, it certainly is within the council's purview to have an additional public hearing. That's very common, and it's something that state law contemplates as a discretionary item for the council and something that your code certainly provides.
Right. And I appreciate that. If there's been one issue, there's been a lot of things, opportunities to weigh in on it, that one. And for the last 2 weeks, I believe there's multiple hours of testimony on it. So from that standpoint, it's what I see listed here. I'm just trying to figure out if there's going to be any changes to that, or we have a week off, things like that on the 3rd. So I just want to make sure that, that there aren't any surprises. So I guess that's where I'm getting at. So,
all right. Is there an interest in holding the meeting on the 3rd?
I don't need that. Personally, I'm just looking at what I saw here. I saw some things crossed off. I want to make sure that the schedule is still the same. And from that standpoint, if we have to do things in a certain order and things aren't ready yet, then that's fine. The sooner the better, and so we can move on. So, yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Councilmember Gamble?
Just looking at the Senate agenda, yes, I am on vacation the week of the October 27th, so we have that down. I do have a business meeting on the night of November 10th, so most likely will not be able to attend on November 10th either. Anything else looks good?
Okay. Anything else, Council? One change to next week's agenda. Councilmember Gehring did the Pledge of Allegiance. We'll go ahead and set Councilmember Gamble, who is scheduled for today, for the pledge. Making this hard for me to...
I can just do it twice.
Do it twice.
We want to count to three again?
No, I'm not going to count to three again.
Mayor?
Yes, Councilmember Camp.
On November 10th, we have intent to absorb TV.
Several of them,
they're
crossed
out.
Yeah,
all those out.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll modify.
17th
and
24th.
Okay. What did you just pull? TDD. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Those were TDD.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have anything further? Okay, we have no further business this evening. Is there a motion for adjournment? Councilmember Gamble?
Yep.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Spence, who moved first. Cut it back. A second from Council Member Gamble. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 7-0. Thank you.